Welcome to the Wise Woman Collective. My name is Elizabeth Aintree. I am the host and the creator of the Wise Woman Collective. The Wise Woman Collective is a space created to inspire women to trust God and become the woman that God has created them to be. Thank you for joining. I can't wait for us to get into this episode. Let's get it. Hello, and thank you for joining me for episode number 4. I'm so excited that you've joined me. Today, I wanted to first say thank you. Thank you all for your love and support with the Wise Woman Collective. I always want to acknowledge everyone who has helped to make the Wise Woman Collective the Wise Woman Collective podcast. I'm so excited. I just want to thank you all for sharing it on your social media platforms. And I really want to say thank you all for your feedback. It really, really encourages me, and I'm very grateful. And so thank you all so much. Thank you for reposting. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for everything. And if you have not already, please subscribe to this podcast so that anytime I upload a new episode, you'll be the first to know. Now, before we get into this episode today, I also wanted to speak about everything that's going on in the world today, especially as it relates to racial injustice. I don't know how you are taking it, but it has been very overwhelming, very emotional. And I got to a place where when everything was done after the George Floyd's passing, I just got to a place where I just kind of became a little numb because it's just like, what do you do? How do you end this? Where does this stop? When is enough enough? And as I took some time away to kind of think, kind of to contemplate on what I could personally do, I realized that there is a lot that we all can do. In our realm of influence, we all have something we can do. And it is as simple as donating. It's as simple as educating yourself on things that you do not know or don't understand. Praying for this nation, like heartfelt prayers for this nation. If nothing at all, just do something. It could be just a conversation. It could be just simply checking your heart. At the end of the day, God is the one who can answer these issue of racial injustice because there are so many layers. And it's not one person, one bill, one law that is going to eliminate all of that. As you can see, it really would take the grace of God, the love of God. And so as people of God, I think it's important now than more than ever that we really stand up in our love walk, that we really learn how to extend grace to one another, that we really show up and show out and educate people when we can. And I believe that God is doing something in this moment. And so you don't want to be somebody who is just a bystander, because regardless of how you perceive it, it will affect you one way or the other. And so I really want to encourage anyone listening today that if you've not been able to do anything, be it protest, be it donate, be educating or praying, choose one of those things. Start there. If you can't start there, start with your heart. Start with your heart, check your prejudices, see what it is that you got going on inside of you, and ask God to help you. Once we begin to learn how to love one another, that is only when things will be really begin to change. And so if it depends on you, try to extend grace and love. Try to stand up for people who are being oppressed with your voice and your platforms and your position. But whatever it is, it's all hands on deck, and we need everyone to do their part. And so once again, let us all play our positions. And if anything, we can't start anywhere. Let's start with our hearts and making sure that we're moving from a place of love. All right. On to episode number 4, titled Expectations. Today, I would like for us to speak about expectations. Expectations are, for this, the sake of this conversation, is how we want things to be. How we want things to play out, what we want something to do. We all have them. We all have expectations. These expectations are formed through what people tell us, through our experiences and our imagination. So when we are desiring something, it's mainly made up of those three things. People have told us, what experiences we had, and lastly, our imagination. And so when we have an expectation about anything, we've created an idea of how things should be.
Right now, somebody might have an expectation. They're in school and they want to take a certain career path. Somebody is probably waiting on God for marriage and waiting on a person to do or say a certain thing. Somebody might be married and wants their marriage to look a certain way. We all have expectations. We might have children who we expect to behave in a certain way and they're not. Or we might be looking at our life. We've planned our life and it doesn't look anywhere close to what we expect. And when we have expectations and it does not meet our standards, it leaves us discouraged. It leaves us disappointed. And in some cases, leaves us really distracted. And today I want us to go a little bit deep into this expectation as it relates to taking things before God. Now, if you haven't already, please check out episode 2, which is titled Alignment. I think that many things that we're going to discuss today will be in alignment with that episode. But I really want to talk about when you have your heart's desire, you have this plan of what you want, and then you bring it to God. And I really like for us to explore in this episode how our attitude should be about our personal expectations that we take before God. Now, you know, I'm going to share with you my personal experience with expectation. As you all are aware, in episode 2, I discussed how I was waiting on God for marriage. I wanted what God wanted for me. Now, before I got to that place, I was really doing life on my own. I believed that I had the power and the ability to control how life would go. And so I really made my own decisions. I believed that whatever decision I made would be good. And yeah, but I would later find out that a lot of decisions that I made were not really good decisions, especially when it came to relationships that I was having, especially when I knew in my mind, my ultimate goal was to have a purposeful and meaningful marriage. And so I got to a point where, based on my experience, I knew that I was not good when it came to dating and talking to people that I were interested in me. And so I decided that I was going to trust God and introduce God into this journey of waiting on God for marriage. And so I was very serious about it. However, when it came to my relationship with God, I don't want to say it was a deep level. It was probably the very early stages of being very more intentional. And so I remember there was only one thing I remembered, and the only scripture I remembered was ask and you shall receive. I didn't know the scripture before it. I didn't know the scripture after it. I just knew that I wanted this and this is what I was going to ask. And that was what I was going to get, because that's only God can do that. Right. So I set out to make it plain, because that's what the scripture says. Write it out and make the vision plain. So I got a notebook. I got a college rule notebook. And for anyone who doesn't know what a college rule notebook, it is the line paper that's in a journal form. And the lines are really, really small. And for 5 days, it wasn't just sitting there for 5 days. I would go back and forth to this sheet of paper and I would list down exactly what I was looking for in my husband. And this list would start with, he has to be 6'6". He has to be 215 pounds. He has to be caramel skin. He has to have this type of education. I need him to dress like this. His cologne. Yes, it was very detailed. And if I tell you, this project ended with a 5 pages, double column back and forth of what I wanted. And I just took it before God. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm asking and your word said I shall receive. And so this is what it is. Let this man come up. He needs to pop up. And so after that period of time, this became my new standard, my personal expectations of what I was looking for in a husband. And so as people would approach me, I would refer to my list, because remember, you know, make the vision plain and ask and you shall receive. I was putting all these scriptures together and God was going to do what I asked him to do. And so a guy would come and I'm like, oh, you're 6 foot. Oh, I can't do 6 feet. Sorry. Oh, you're 100 and how many pounds? Oh, no, it's a minimum is 200. And so this was the list that I was going by. Oh, you do what for a living? Oh, no, I can't talk to you. because that was not aligned with this, my personal expectations of what I was looking for in a man. And so I would continue on. And then one day in March of 2006, my church had a youth movement titled PENSA. It was an organization that empowered a young generation of college students, college graduates to really take their position in Christ, to evangelize. And so they were inaugurating it in my particular church. And three gentlemen had come in. And for me, based on my experience, I had never met guys like that. They were really nice. They were down to earth. They loved Jesus. They were really cool. And so then in the back of my mind, when I met them, I'm like, oh, wait, I got to get back to the list because we got to make some adjustments. But during that weekend, there was one person who we continued to have, like, we had conversations, and he was really, really nice. He was really respectful. He was asking me questions about myself, which I was not used to at that point. And so he was really nice. And so as him and I were conversing over the weekend, the conversations would move from the light conversations to a little bit more personal conversations, like what I was doing in school. And if anyone, again, if you've listened to Alignment, you know, I was a bit confused when it came to school. And so I really didn't know where the conversation was going to take us, but he was really nice. So I would just engage. The chemistry was there. And so I remember dropping him off at the airport and getting a phone call when he landed. And that conversation would last for 8 hours. And the weeks afterwards, the conversations would be the same for about 6 to 8 hours. And we would talk and literally laugh throughout our whole conversation. And people began, like my mom and my sister, to notice that me and him spent a lot of time on the phone. And they were kind of putting it in my ear that, hey, we think he likes you. And so when I remember looking at my list, you know, and I'm like, no, that's not him, because God would have, if this is him, God would have brought him the way that I expected him to come. And so then one day I remember praying and going before God, because I had gotten to a place in our relationship where I knew that whoever he is or was supposed to be, if he was just going to be my friend, I knew I wanted him to be my friend. But I really needed, I guess, clarity when it came to our relationship. So I remember going to God and saying, you know, I really like him, but he's not on our vision plan. He's not in our list, God. So how does this work? And I know by now, for some of you who already know my husband, you know that the list and him were a bit different. But I remember asking God, like, you know, Lord, if help me to understand, should I pursue this? What should I do? And then God took me to Psalm 62, verse 5, and it was the King James Version. That's the version that really resonated with me. But the scripture says that my soul patiently waits on the Lord, for in him is my expectation. My soul patiently waits on the Lord, for in him is my expectation. And so in that moment, God had just really opened my eyes to let me realize that my expectation was not on the list that I had written, but that in him, in God, was my real expectation. When I read that scripture, the first thing that came to me was, God knows what I want more than I do. Even though it's my body, my mind, my experiences, my imagination, God knows what I want more than I do. And so in that moment, I had come to a crossroad where it's like, do I hold on to this personal expectation and then kind of risk it for what God is really saying to me in the scripture? Or do I just, you know, take this and add it at the back of this, you know, in the back of my journal as one of my memory verses? Like, I didn't know what to do, but then I felt pulled because I realized that, God, this means that I have to trust you a lot. And that's the reality. You know, many of us have things that we want. We have an idea of how it should present itself. We want things to have a certain ending or a certain beginning, or it should have a certain vibe or flow. It should feel a certain way or look a certain way. Some of us really have a list, like I do, where you've listed how exactly everything should go. But one thing that I want to say to you that changed everything in my life in that moment was that it wasn't just a decision about following a scripture and then, you know, deciding, do I want this, you know, this list of paper, this project, you know, this is my expectation. But really what the question that was being asked is, will you let God be God? And today I want to ask you that. Are you willing to let God be God? You know, we are all in somewhere in our life where we're just at a point where we need to obey, we need to trust. It's hard. Some of us are walking in our purpose. It's not looking the way it's supposed to be. Some of us are waiting on God for a spouse. And the people who are coming and the guy that I'm talking to doesn't look the way that I expect him to be. Or, you know, some of us are married and the marriage and the way my husband acts is not really how I wanted us to be. Some of our children are not behaving or conducting themselves in the way that I would want them to behave. My life is not where it's supposed to be. But today I want to ask you, are you willing to let God be God? Because what we don't realize is when we don't allow God to be God and we want to hold on to our personal expectations, what we end up doing is limiting God and limiting what God wants to do in our lives. As I explained earlier, that our expectations are based only on what people have told us, our personal experiences, and our imagination. We are limited because what we don't take into consideration is that God knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's going to happen in the future. He knows how you're going to evolve. He knows what you're going to like. He knows how times are going to change. He knows everything. And he has taken the future into account, whereas you are looking at your past and your present. And so we are limited when we bring our expectations before God. What we don't realize is we limit what God wants to do when we decide to hold on to our personal agenda. What we also do when we decide to hold on to our personal agenda and our personal expectation is that we communicate to God that I don't trust you. Many people say, you know what, I'll do my part. When I need God, I'll call him. Or yeah, I'm going to believe God, but I'm going to do it my way at the same time. Or some of us just don't even trust God. I don't need God in this whole process. I got it. But let me explain to you, you need God in every detail of your life. And when you decide that I'm going to do things my way, what you're telling God is that I don't trust you. But as you all know, and I tell you about my favorite scripture in Psalm 25, that those who trust God, he will never disappoint. And so it's important that whenever you are in a crossroad between choosing what God wants for you and what you want for yourself, you're limiting yourself. You're limiting what God wants to do in your life. And two, you really are communicating that you don't trust God. But lastly, you end up putting yourself in a battle that you cannot win. Many of us are fighting God's will for our lives. Many of us are really going against what God wants us to do. And what you have to know is whenever God's hand is on you, whenever you put something into God's hands, he is not in the business of letting anyone fail. And so you are ending up fighting against him. And some of us are living in situations where we have fought against God. And now we're dealing with the consequences of disobedience. And so it's important today that you look at your life and where it is and ask yourself, will I let God be God? Will I let God to have limitless access into my life? Because he has in his mind, in his plan, the future that I don't know. Will I just trust God at his word that because I trust him, he will not disgrace me. He will not disappoint me. Will I just, you know, allow God to be God so that I don't fight against the will of God for my life and so that my days are joyful, are blessed, that my life is successful? You know, it's important to have your expectations. But it's even more important to give God room to be God. Because one scripture that I love so much is Ephesians 3 verse 20 that says that now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, one version says that we could think or expect, God can do more than we could ever think or expect. He can do exceedingly abundantly more than what's on your list. And many of you will ask, so like, okay, Liz, so what happened to your list? Well, I end up marrying that man. And if I tell you that if I would have held on to that list, I wouldn't even be able to forgive myself. Because what God gave me, He gave me my real expectation, my real desire, my real joy, my real hope, my real happiness, my real purpose. And at that age in my life, I was limited by what I had seen. But when I gave it to God and said, God, I choose you. When I said, Lord, yes, my list looks a certain way, but in you is my expectation. I gave up what I wanted for something, for more than I could ever have. And the same is for you. You know, I like to speak specifically to women who are waiting on God for marriage. I really love speaking to you because I've been there. And many of us are holding on to things and expectations that really don't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything when God is in it, because God is going to take care of everything. He just needs you to trust Him. Some of us, you know, the way things are looking, it's looking like I'm just giving up on the idea of marriage. But today I'm going to ask you, will you let God be God? Will you step away from how you expect things to play out and say, you know what, God, I'm going to let you be God. I'm going to trust you. Even if it doesn't look the way that I wrote it down and the vision was made plain, I'm still going to let you be God. My husband is not 6'6". My husband's not 210 pounds. And my husband is not caramel skin. But if I tell you, I love every ounce of my man. He is the most amazing human being I have ever met. He is really my heart's desire. He is my expectation. He loves me in ways that I didn't even know a person could love me. In him, I really feel God's reflection of love. And I am so grateful for what God has done in our life together. I can't even thank God enough. Someone who knows my weaknesses and still loves me. Someone who pushes me to be better. Someone who honors me. I didn't take all that. Everything that I listed was not on my list, because I didn't even know I needed all that. But God knows that I needed all that. And so today, I just want to encourage you. It may not be marriage. It may not be waiting on God. It may be your career. It may be your purpose. You probably feel your purpose should be a certain way. But today, I'm going to ask you, will you let God be God? Will you let God come in and create the life that He has called you for? A lot of it has to do with surrendering, letting go. What I like to say is just step back away from your expectations and say, okay, God, this is what I've written, but I'm going to step back and I'm going to let you be God. And so today I'm going to ask you, are you willing to let God be God? In those hopeless situations, things that you no longer think about, are you willing to let God be God? Are you willing to let God, who has all knowledge, come into your life and really, really have His way? And so today, what I would like to encourage you all to do is to really look at your life and look at areas of your life that, you know, you're probably holding on too tight, you know, or things that you're doing on your own will and your own strength. And I really want you to think about that scripture, Psalm 62, verse 5, that says, my soul patiently waits on the Lord, for in Him is my expectation. And I really want you to go before God. And first, I want you to ask yourself, will I let God be God? And then I want you to take that thing that you're holding on to, or even if it's your whole life that you're just doing on your own. And I want you to bring it before God and say, you know what, God, this is how I've been doing it, but I'm about to step aside and let you be God. Physically put your list in front of Him, step aside and say, God, be God. All right, everyone. I want to thank you. And I want to say that wherever God wants to do in your life, you have no idea. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever imagine. And when we realize that our expectations, our personal agenda will never measure to the amazing plans that God has for us, and we allow Him to be God, we will have a life that we could never, our words could never even pray for. All right, until the next episode, God bless you, and I'll see you soon. Bye.